ನಮಸ್ತೆ. ಯೋಗಸೂತ್ರ ಪರಿಚಯ ವರ್ಗಸ್ಯ ಸಪ್ತವಿಂಶಃ ಅವಧಿ. ಮಂಗಲಶ್ಲೋಕೇನ ಆರಂಭಂ ಕುರ್ಮಃ. ಯೋಗೇನ ಚಿತ್ತಸ್ಯ ಪದೇನ ವಾಚಾಂ ಮಲಂ ಶರೀರಸ್ಯ ಚ ವೈದ್ಯಕೇನ ಯೋಪಾಕರೋತ್ತಂ ಪ್ರಭರಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ಪತಂಜಲಿಂ ಪ್ರಾಂಜಲಿರಾನತೋಸ್ಮಿ. ವಿಲ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ಕ್ವಿಕ್ ರೀಕ್ಯಾಪ್ ಆಫ್ ದ 26th ಕ್ಲಾಸ್. ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೆಸ್ಯೂಮಿಂಗ್ ದ ಕ್ಲಾಸಸ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಕ್ವೈಟ್ ಸಮ್ ಟೈಮ್, ಬಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ರೆಕಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್. So in the previous class, we are discussing the Vibhutipada, and in this Vibhutipada, we have so far covered 28 sutras. So far actually we have covered 36 sutras. I'm sorry. And we will just have a recap from the 29th sutra, which we did in the previous class, the 26th class. So, as the set pattern, first the place of Sanyama is mentioned and then the benefit is mentioned in the sutras. Nabhi Chakre Kaya Vyuha Jnanam, 29th sutra. It says, when one does Dharana Dhyana Samadhi in the Nabhi Chakra, in the navel region, then Kaya Vyuha Jnanam, the knowledge of the arrangement of Vata, Pitta, Kapha, their status, the Sapta Dhatus, the three doshas, all these aspects are known. Similarly, we had Kantha Kupe, Krutpipasa, Nivrittihi. In the throat region, when Sanyama is done, then Krut, hunger, Pipasa, is thirst, Nivrittihi, is overcome. Hunger and thirst are overcome by doing Sanyama in the Kanthakupa. Kurmanadyam Sthairyam, 31st Sutra. There is a Kurmanadi, there is a Nadi which is in the shape of Kurma, that is a tortoise or a turtle, just below the Kanthakupa, the throat region. When one does the Sanyama in the Kurmanadi, Sthairyam, that is firmness, is achieved. Some commentators maintain that the Sthairyam mentioned here is physical Sthairyam or the physical firmness, whereas others mention it as the steady state of mind. Next one is Murdha Jyotishi Siddha Darshanam. Murdha Jyotihi, Murdha refers to the head. There is an opening in the head which is called as Brahmarandhra, where the Sushumna Nadi ends, and that place is to be visualized as effulgent, full of light, Jyotihi. So when one does Sanyama in the Murdha Jyotihi, the light on the top of the head, which is the end point of the Sushumna Nadi, then Siddha Darshanam. Siddhas refer to the great yogic personalities who do not reveal themselves normally. So for a person who has done the Sanyama on Murdha Jyotihi, to him these astral persons reveal themselves and they also help him out in their tasks, in his task. Then comes Pratibhadva Sarvam, the 33rd Sutra. The 33rd Sutra mentions about a special power called Pratibham. We had discussed this previously. Pratibham refers to Vivekaja Jnanasya Purvarupam. Vyasa says, Pratibha refers to Vivekaja Jnanasya Purvarupam. That is knowledge that, or the state of the mind. Pratibha refers to the state of the mind just before the dawn of knowledge of discrimination between what is Prakriti and Purusha. This is Pratibha Jnanam. Vyasa further says, Yatha Udaye Prabha Bhaskarasya. So just before the sun rise, the rays of the sun spread first. The dawn occurs first. So this is like a dawn. Just before the attainment of the discriminatory knowledge, Viveka Jnanam, the mind attains a calm state of mind, calm state. That is called as Pratibham. When that Pratibham is there in the mind, Pratibha state is attained, then yogi knows everything, sarvam. He becomes omniscient. That is 33rd sutra. The 34th sutra is Hridaye Chitta Samvita. The heart is Hridayam. It is considered as the seat of the soul, Brahmapuram. When one does Sanyama in that Hridaya, the seat of the soul, then Chitta Samvita. All the functions of the mind are clearly known by doing this Sanyama, Hridaye Chitta Samvita. Then comes Purushajnanam. Purushajnanam is spoken to about in the 35th sutra. Regarding Chitta Samvit, Yoga Sudhakara, the previous sutra, Yoga Sudhakara commentator says, Savasanasya Chittasya Samvit ityartha. The Chitta with all its vasanas is known by meditating upon Hridaya as the seat of the soul. The next one, 35th sutra, we saw Sattva Purushayoho Atyanta Asankirnayoho Pratyaya Visheshad Bhogaha Parartat Swartha Sanyamat Purushajnanam. This speaks about the attainment of the knowledge of the Purusha. What is the nature of Purusha? How is that attained? By doing Swartha Sanyama, by doing Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi on the fact that Purusha is Swartha. Purusha exists for himself, Swartha. He exists for himself. Whereas Prakriti is for the purpose of Purusha. Purusha is independent and he exists for himself, whereas Prakriti is dependent and it serves the purpose of Purusha. So, overcoming the ideas of Prakriti, if one focuses upon Purusha as a Swartha, Swartha, an entity that exists or is complete in its own existence, it does not find its completion by serving something else. So, then that is when Sanyama is done on such a conceptualization of Purusha, then Purusha Jnana arises. The knowledge of Purusha dawns. The nature of the consciousness of the Purusha is known by this Sanyama. The next sutra, that is the 36th sutra, the last one that we did in the previous class, speaks about Purusha Jnanam. So, by this Purusha Jnanam, what are all attained? What are all the outcomes of this Purusha Jnanam? That is discussed in the 36th sutra. Tataha Pratibha Shravana Vedana Adarsha Aswada Vartaha Jayante. So by this Purusha Jnana Pratibham, which was mentioned previously in the 33rd sutra, so even by this Swartha Sanyama Pratibha arises. As the mind reaches a state where it is now ready to receive in totality the discriminatory knowledge between the Prakriti and Purusha. And then Shravana, divine sounds are heard. Vedana, divine touch sensations are felt. Adarsha, things which are not visible to the normal beings become visible. Aswada, divine taste is experienced. And Vartaha Jayante. So, Vartaha. So, Shravana is hearing. Vedana is touch. Adarsha is seeing. And Aswada is taste. And Varta is divine smell. That is felt. So, by Purushajnana, all these aspects are experienced. And as has been mentioned earlier, in under the Vishayavativa Pravritti Rutpanna Manasasthiti Nibandhini, when these special sensual experience or experience of the senses, divine experiences of the senses occur, then the mind becomes more and more absorbed into the knowledge of Purusha. So, thus far we discussed in the previous class. Oh, one more sutra, I'm sorry. The next sutra also we saw that all these siddhis which have been mentioned. So, what are they really? Are these siddhis or these obstacles? The 37th sutra says, Te samadhav upasargaha vyutthane siddhayaha. All these special kinds of knowledge, Siddha Darshanam, Sthairyam, Kaya Vyuha Jnanam, Divine Smell and other such knowledge, all these things, for the one who is desirous of Samadhi, all these are Upasargas or obstacles, and whereas for a person who is worldly minded, Vyutthane Siddhayaha, these are great powers. So, these can either be considered great powers or obstacles. It depends upon the purpose with which a person pursues all these things. So this was very clearly made, this point was made in the 37th sutra. Now we move on to the next section, the 5th unit, 38th sutra, Bandha karana shaithilyat prachara samvedanaccha chittasya parashareera aveshaha. This sutra speaks about parashareera aveshaha. Chittasya parashareera aveshaha. The mind entering another body. Chittasya, the mind, parashareera, other body, aveshaha, entry. So, how to enter into another body, whether alive or dead, whichever is a body which already possesses a soul or a dead body. In these other bodies, a yogi can enter. How can he enter? Bandha karana shaithilyat. Bandha is bondage, karana is reason. Shaithilya is slackening. So, when the reason or the cause of bondage is slackened. Now, what is bandha? Bandha is bondage. The word bandha here refers to the body being, the mind being fixed in the body. That is bandha here. So, the mind being fixed in the body is bandha. And why is this mind fixed in this body? What is the karana? Karana is the punya and papa that is committed by the person. So, as long as the punya and papa are giving their vipaka or the results of the punya and papa, thus far the body and the mind will be attached and the mind is tied, bandha, with this body. Shaithilya is slackening. When can that bondage be slackened? The bondage can be slackened by sanyama, bandhakarana shaithilyat. By practice of sanyama on the bandhakarana, that is dharma and adharma, or punya or papa, then what happens is the bond that ties the mind and body is slackened. Not only that, prachara samvedanacha. Prachara is movement. The mind moves about in the nadis. So the mind, according to the commentaries, the commentators mention that prachara refers to the movement of the mind through the channels, the subtle channels which are called as nadis. Samvedanam, by the knowledge of the movement of the mind in the various channels of the body, parasharira aveshaha happens. So by slackening of punya papa, which ties the mind with the body, by the practice of sanyama, and also by the practice of sanyama on the movement of the mind in the various nadis, what happens is a yogi is capable of understanding, he is capable of loosening the mind from this body, and he is also capable of making his mind enter into the other's body through the various nadi channels. So this is bandhakarana shaithilyat prachara samvedanacha para sharira aveshah. So entry into the other body. So this is 38th sutra. Now we move into the 39th sutra, which is udana jayat jala panka kantakadishu asangaha utkrantischa. So udana jayat. Udana is one among the vayus, pancha pranas, prana apana, vyana, udana, samana. These are the pancha vayus, and udana jaya refers to the practice of sanyama on the udana vayu. Udana vayu, udanaha, anasagrat ashirovrittihi, which means that from the tip of the nose, according to Yoga Sudhakara commentator, that is Sadashiva Brahmendra, says that anasagrat ashirovritti, udana is present from the tip of the nose to the top of the head. This is the region of udana, according to the commentator here. So by doing sanyama on the udana vayu, which is present in this region, what is attained is jala panka kantakadishu asangaha. That is, jala, water does not wet a person, a person will not get drenched in water, water will not stick to his body. Panka, neither will panka, that is the mud will stick to his body. And kantaka refers to the thorn. So all these will not stick to his body or affect him. Asangaha, so neither will he become wet, nor will he by water, nor his body will become soiled by panka, the mud and the puddle which is created by the mud. And kantaka is, neither will his body be pierced by the thorns. So by the practice of udana, by the conquest of udana, all these things are attained. And utkrantischa, this utkranti has been presented by discussed by Sadashiva Brahmendra as Svechaya Maranam. So whenever he desires, he will leave this body. A person can die at will. That is Utkranti, according to Sadashiva Brahmendra. So this is Sutra 39. The next Sutra is Samana Jayat Jvalanam. Samana. As we spoke about Udana, similarly Samana. Samana is another Vayu that is present in the body. Ahridayat Anabhi Sthitaha Samanaha. From the region of the heart till the region of the navel is the area of operation of Samana Vayu. Ahridayat Anabhi Sthitaha Samanaha. From Hridaya to Nabhi is the region of Samana. By this Samana, Tasya Vashikarat Nabhi Nikatastha Agner Jvalanam Bhavati. There is the Jatharagni which is near the navel. So it is this Jatharagni which keeps the, according to the yogic texts, which is in charge of digestion. It is this gastric fire which is in charge of the digestion and the bodily heat. So this Nadi, which is Agni or the fire which is present in the region of Samana, will glow bright. Jvalanam Bhavati. This Jatharagni will become more fierce, and Yenasau Yogi Jvalanniva Drishyate Ityarthaha. By this, when others see, the yogi would be perceived as being surrounded by flames. Probably this siddhi will help yogi who is meditating in a forest to save himself from various cruel animals which are naturally afraid of fire. So Samana Jayat Jvalanam. This is Sutra 40. 41. Shrotrakashayoho Sambandha Sanyamat Divyam Shrotram. Already previously, attainment of divine hearing capacity, all that has been spoken, but this is now divine hearing is singled out in this sutra where it says Shrotra Akashayoho Sambandha Sanyamat. By practicing Sanyama, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi on the connection Sambandha between Shrotra, the sense of hearing, and Akasha. Akasha is the space that is around. So all the sounds that are heard by the ears travel through the space, and hence there is a very intimate connection between the space and the ears. So when one does Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi, that is Sanyama, on the connection Sambandha between Shrotra and Akasha, then Divyam Shrotram, divine capacity or capacity to hear divine sounds, that becomes possible. Or the hearing capacity of the person becomes divine, in the sense that all that a human ear cannot do can be done by this Shrotra. For example, Vyasa grants this Divyam Shrotram, or Divyam Chakshuhu rather. It is the Divyam Chakshuhu. Divyam Dadami Te Chakshuhu. So it is in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives Divya Chakshuhu, divine seeing capacity, to Arjuna, so that the Lord can be visualized in all his splendor. And similar is the case of Sanjaya. Sanjaya reports all that happens in the war field while sitting in Hastinapura. the war happens in the Kurukshetra war field, whereas Dhritarashtra the king and Sanjaya his charioteer both are in the palace, and Sanjaya acquiring the divya or divine capacity to see from a distance, from very long distance, he not only sees but also hears all that happens in the war and reports it to Dhritarashtra. That's how the Bhagavad Gita begins. So Divya Shrotra may refer to listening to the sounds of the gods, or Divya Shrotra may be the extraordinary capacity of the ears, which a normal human ear cannot do. So this is Shrotra Akashayoha Sambandha Sanyamat Divyam Shrotram. The next one is Kaya Akashayoha Sambandha Sanyamat Laghu Tula Samapattescha Akasha Gamanam. So this sutra speaks about Akasha Gamanam, traveling in the space, traveling in the sky. How is that achieved? Akasha Gamanam. Kaya Akashayoho Sambandha Sanyamat. Sanyama has to be performed on the Sambandha, the connection between Kaya and Akasha. Kaya refers to the body, Akasha refers to the space in which the body exists. So it is in Akasha that this body exists, and hence there is an invariable connection between the space and the body, and doing dharana, dhyana, samadhi on this connection between these two, kaya and akasha, helps a person to go deeper into the aspects of akasha and enables him to travel on the space. And along with that, there is another methodology to attain this akasha gamanam, laghu tula samapattescha, or practicing samapatti. Samapatti again is not different from this dharana dhyana samadhi. Samapatti on laghu. Laghu is extremely subtle things. Tula samapattihi. Tula refers to a tuft of grass. So if the commentators say, if by the term laghu we take paramanu, and the term tula refers to grass. So by doing samapatti on extremely subtle things like the atom, till objects like a small blade of grass or a small tuft of grass, so on objects like subtle objects like atom and blade of grass and other such very minute objects, when a person performs samapatti or sanyama, also the capability to travel, he himself becomes laghu, he himself becomes very light, and then he is capable of traveling in akasha. So that is akasha gamanam. Laghukayaha bhutva akashe viharati. So by practicing this samapatti, what happens is a yogi is rendered very very light, and then as he is light, he simply floats in the sky. So one correction or one point that I would like to make here is, in 39th sutra the term utkranti is used. People translate utkranti as levitation or flying in the sky, whereas all commentators are unanimous in mentioning that utkranti refers to dying at will, whereas it is mostly translated as levitation. And when levitation or flying in the sky is spoken about clearly in Akasha Gamanam, in this current sutra, then why it should be taken as utkranti? So there should be a difference between Utkranti and Akashagamanam. So Akashagamanam can be taken as levitation, which is very clear, and Utkranti, as per the views of the commentators, is nothing but leaving the body at one's own will or dying at one's own will. So that confusion can be clarified by looking into the commentaries. Then we move into the next sutra, that is Bahirakalpita Vrittihi Mahavideha Tataha Prakashavarana Kshayaha. Now this sutra states that Bahihi Akalpita Vrittihi. This sutra speaks about the attainment of Prakashavarana Kshayaha. Prakasha Avarana Kshayaha. Kshayaha, removal. Removal of what? Avaranam. Avaranam is the covering. Covering of what? Prakasha. So the removal or destruction of the covering over the light. The light here is nothing but, or the light here is the knowledge of Purusha, and what is that which clouds the knowledge of Purusha? The commentator Sadashiva Brahmendra states, Kleshadi Malaha, all the impurities generated by the Kleshas themselves is the covering over the light of the knowledge of Purusha. That is destroyed. So this veil over the light of knowledge, that is the kleshas, are destroyed. How is it achieved? By doing sanyama on the Mahavideha, or by attaining the state of Mahavideha. By attaining the state of Mahavideha, Prakashavarana Kshayaha is achieved. Okay. So, what is Mahavideha? To that, we have to see the previous portion of the sutra. It says, Bahihi Akalpita Vrittihi Mahavideha. That is defined in the sutra itself. What is Mahavideha? Bahihi Akalpita Vrittihi. Now, again, when we go into the commentary, it becomes really clear. It says that Sharire Ahambhave Sati Manasaha Ya Bahir Vrittihi Sa Kalpita Videhakya. When the mind is attached with this body, Ahambhava, which means that it, when the mind identifies itself with this body, but still it goes out. In the sense, it simply wanders, or it imagines about various things outside. So such a state of imagination of the mind, which is tied down with this body, is called as Kalpita Vrittihi. And this Kalpita Vrittihi is also called as Videha Vrittihi. Videha. See, the mind travels without the body, even though it is rooted in this body, being associated with Ahankara. So, by the effect of Ahankara, the mind is firmly tied to this body, but still it travels outside, imagining various things. So, such an activity or the state of the mind is called as Videha. And now we have to move to the state of Mahavideha. From this Videha state, Mahavideha state has to be achieved. What is Mahavideha and how is it achieved? The existence of mind outside the body, even when it is tied to this body with Ahankara, is Kalpita. Kalpita is imaginary. It really does not go out. it really stays with this entity. It imaginarily goes out. This is kalpita, imaginary, and hence it is called as videha vritti. But when by overcoming the connection with the ego in association with this body, when the mind really goes out of the body, which is akalpita, which is not imaginarily wandering about, really when the mind can travel outside the body, because of loosening of the ahankara, slackening of the ahambhava with this body, then it is called as mahavideha. This is not imaginarily going out, it is rather really going out. It is the same which has been mentioned in connection with the parashariravesha in the 38th sutra. This seems to be a reiteration of the 38th sutra, which also speaks about bandhakarana shaithilya and prachara samvedana. Another two terminologies are introduced here, videha and mahavideha. Normal imaginary traveling of the mind outside the body is videha, whereas when the ahankara is overcome by doing sanyama on dharma and adharma, and also knowing the movement of the body in the various nadi, movement of the mind in the various subtle nadis, then the yogi is capable of making the mind really traveling, capable of making the mind to really travel outside the body. And that traveling of the mind independent of the body is called as mahavideha. The real traveling of the mind outside the body is called as mahavideha. And how by this mahavideha, what is achieved is the mind is separated from the body. A yogi clearly views that the body and the mind are two different entities. It leads to prakasha avarana kshayaha. All the impurities that have clouded the knowledge of the purusha, they get destroyed by this activity, by attaining the state of mahavideha. So then we move into the next sutra. Stula swarupa sukshma anvaya arthavatva anvaya arthavatva sanyamat bhutajayaha. The 44th sutra speaks about bhutajayaha. Bhutajayaha is the conquest or the complete control over the bhutas. Bhutas here refers to the pancha bhutas. Prithivi, apaha, tejaha, vayuhu, akasham. So all these are the bhutas. How to gain control over the bhutas? This sutra says by doing sanyama, sanyamaha, sanyamat. By doing sanyama on the five aspects of the bhutas. What are the five aspects of the bhutas, the pancha bhutas? What are those five? The sthula, swarupa, sukshma, anvaya and arthavatva. These are the five aspects of the pancha bhutas. When one practices sanyama on these five aspects, then he gains complete control over the pancha bhutas. So now each of these have to be taken up. Sthula. What is sthula? All these terms here, sthula, swarupa, sukshma, anvaya, arthavatva, are paribhashika or specific to Yoga Sutra. Special terminologies which have been coined in the Yoga Sutras alone, and hence are to be understood or are to be defined in the context of yoga, in the context of the yoga sutras. So what is sthula? Vyasa, the commentator, says parthivadyaha shabdadayaha visheshaha sahakari bhihi dharmaihi sthula shabdena paribhashitaha. So each of the five elements, earth, water, the wind, and the fire, and the space, all these have various dharmas or various attributes. For example, the earth has five aspects. It has shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, and gandha. So these five are the ones, are the sthula aspect. These five aspects of earth, which are experienced by the sense, is called as the sthula of prithivi, sthula aspect of prithivi. When we come to the water, what happens is it has four aspects, one less than the earth, that is shabda, sparsha, rupa, and rasa. Come to the tejas or the light, it has three aspects, shabda, sparsha, and rupa. When we come to vayu, it has two aspects, shabda and sparsha. And when we come to akasha, only shabda is present, that is, only the sound is experienced in the space. So these aspects of the five elements where the senses, each of the senses operate, is called as the sthula form of the five elements, which in essence means those aspects of the five elements which are grasped by the senses is called as sthula. The shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, and gandha aspects, in essence, is the sthula of the sthula form of the panchabhutas. And then, what is swarupa? Murtihi bhumihi, snehaha jalam, vanghihi ushnata, vayuhu pranami, sarvatogatihi akasham. So, one specific nature of each of the five elements are denoted by the term swarupa. For example, murtihi bhumihi, that is a gross form, that is very specific to the earth. Snehaha jalam, that is making something, binding, the nature of binding is water's special feature. Ushnata vanhehe, that is the heat of the fire. Pranami vayuhu, the ability of the wind to bend things or make other things move, that is the special feature of vayu. Sarvato gatir akasham, the nature of being present everywhere, that is the swarupa of akasham. So murti is the swarupa of bhumi, sneha, the nature of binding, is the swarupa of jalam, heat is the swarupa of vanghi or fire, and making other things move or bend is the swarupa of vayu, and being present everywhere is the swarupa of akasham. So this is the swarupa aspect of the panchabhutas. And then comes the sukshma aspect of the panchabhutas. Sukshma refers nothing but the pancha tanmatras. The five tanmatras are the subtle, unmanifest,
state of the Panchabhutas are referred to by the term Sukshma here. So, Sukshma points to the Tanmatra aspect of the Panchabhutas. And then, Anvayaha. The term Anvaya again is a technical term, and the commentators make it clear that the term Anvaya refers to the three gunas. Atha bhutanam chaturtham rupam khyati kriya sthiti shilaha gunaha karya swabhava anupatinaha anvaya shabdena uktaha. It is the three gunas which are of the nature of light or knowledge, kriya or action, sthiti or being stable or inert. These three gunas themselves, which are invariably found in all the manifestations of their effects. So that is anuyeti iti anvayaha. Those that are invariably, those features which invariably permeate into their effects. That exactly is the meaning of the word anvaya. So what are the three features that invariably permeate or present in the sthula or swarupa or sukshma form of the panchabhutas? It is the gunas. The gunas invariably permeate this and hence are called as anvaya. So the gunas are the anvaya aspect of the panchabhutas. And arthavatvam. Arthavatvam, again going by the commentators, that is Vyasa's commentary. What is the purpose of existence of gunas? Or the prakriti, what is the very purpose of prakriti which is made up of the gunas? It is purushartha. Purushartha is referred to by the term arthavatva. The gunas, bhogapa vargarthata, guneshu anvayini, this is the arthavatvam. So, the gunas exist for the bhoga of the purusha or for the liberation or apavarga of the purusha. And hence, this is called as arthavatvam, the purpose of the existence of the gunas, that is arthavatvam. So, by doing sanyama in the sthula, swarupa, sukshma, anvaya and arthavatva aspects of the pancha mahabhutas, what is achieved is that the complete knowledge of the panchabhutas at all its levels. That's what Vyasa again says. Panchasu pancharupeshu sanyamat tasya tasya rupasya swarupa darshanam jayascha pradurbhavati. First thing is swarupa darshanam. The nature of each of these levels of the panchabhutas are realized, and also a control over all these levels of the panchabhutas is also attained, and that is called as Bhuta Jaya. And Tajjayat Vatsanusarinyaha Iva Gavaha Asya Sankalpanu Vidhayinyaha Bhavanti. So all these Pancha Mahabhutas will simply follow as the mother cow simply runs behind its calf. Vatsanusarinyaha iva gavaha. Similarly, all the panchabhutas simply follow the thoughts of or whatever a yogi who has achieved this sanyama desires. They act and execute the desire of the yogi. This is Bhuta Jaya. Stula swarupa sukshma anvaya arthavatva sanyamat Bhuta Jayaha. By doing this Bhuta Jaya, what else comes is animadi pradurbhavaha kaya sampat tadharma anabhighatascha. The next sutra brings out the effects or the prayojana of the bhuta jaya. Animadi pradurbhavaha, the ashtamaha siddhis which are indicated by the term animadi, they are achieved. Anima, mahima, garima, laghima, praptihi, prakamyam, vashitvam,
Ishitvam. All these are the Ashta Aishwaryas, which means Anima becoming very, very subtle, Mahima becoming omnipresent or becoming very or ability to expand oneself, Laghima becoming very light, Garima making one's body really heavy, and Prapti ability to reach anything, Satsankalpattvam Prakamyam. Prakamyam is ability to attain anything that is desired. The difference between Prapti and Prakamyam is, the commentator says, Sadashiva Brahmendra says, Angulya Chandrasparshanam Praptihi. The yogi will be capable of touching the moon by his fingers, sitting here. So, that is Prapti, ability to extend oneself to whichever limit possible. That is Prapti. And Prakamyam is ability to materialize whatever one desires. That is Prakamyam. And Vashitvam. Vashitvam is having control over all the creatures around, all the beings around. That is Vashitvam. And Ishitvam, Bhuta Srashtritvam, ability to create newer and newer things. So that is Vashitvam. These are the Animadi Pradurbhavaha. This is indicated by the term Animadi Pradurbhavaha. That is achieved. And Kaya Sampat. Kaya Sampat will be mentioned in the next sutra. Or the body attains tremendous power and strength and beauty. That in essence is Kaya Sampat, which is explained in the next sutra also. And further, Tad Dharma Anadhigatascha. Tad Dharma. Tad Dharma refers to the dharma or the attributes or the functionings of Tat. Tat here refers to the Panchamahabhutas. So, Anadhigataha, being unaffected. So, a yogi will be unaffected by the operations of the Panchabhutas, the wind, the fire, water, earth, nothing will harm him or affect him in any way. That is Taddharma Anadhigataha. So by Bhuta Jaya, Animadi powers, Kaya Sampat, and being unaffected by the functioning of the Panchabhutas, all that is achieved. The term Kaya Sampat was mentioned. Kaya Sampat is presented in detail in the 46th Sutra, which means Rupa Lavanya Bala Vajra Samhananatvani Kaya Sampat. Kaya Sampat refers to Rupa, form, a good form. Lavanya, Lavanya refers to beauty. Rupa, Sadashiva Brahmendra in his commentary says, Chakshuf Priyam Rupam, pleasant to the eyes. That is Rupam. And Lavanyam, Lavanyam refers to Sarvanga Saundaryam, beauty, completeness in all limbs. That is Lavanyam, symmetry in all limbs. That is Lavanyam. Balam refers to Viryam. Viryam is the inner strength of the body. And Vajra Samhananam. Vajra Samhananam refers to Vajrasyaiva Samhananam Avayava Vyuhaha. The sturdiness which is associated with the diamond. That is Vajra Samhananam. Such sturdiness will be attained by the body. So, Rupa, Lavanya, Bala, Vajra Samhananatva. All these put together is called as Kaya Sampat, and this Kaya Sampat is the outcome of Bhuta Jaya. So, we have done till 46th Sutra, and this Pada has 55 Sutras in total, some more Siddhis to go, and in the final couple of Sutras in this Pada, there will be mention about Kaivalya also. So, we will take it up in the next class and we will end this class here with Yogena Chittasya Padena Vacham malam sharirasya cha vaidyakena yopakarottam pravaram muninam patanjalim pranjaliranatosmi. ధన్యవాదాలు.